Okay, Alexander, we need to report on the agreement between the UK and Japan. It was on Friday midday, I think, midday or afternoon that this agreement was announced. And I think it's a very significant agreement, for of course the trade and the economic aspects, which we'll get into, but also given the fact that the UK is kind of at odds now with the EU over how Brexit will progress, and Brexit is fast approaching. And I think you have said it, and I believe this as well, that we're looking at a no deal WTO terms type of Brexit. But anyway, let me read you an art a title from CNBC and the three bullet points as to how they summarize the agreement reached. UK reaches agreement with Japan to clinch its first major post-Brexit trade deal. Britain Trade Department said UK businesses would benefit from tariff-free trade on 99% of exports to Japan. It also suggested the deal would see the country increase trade with Japan by 15.2 billion pounds, that's 19.5 billion USD, and sterling traded at 1.2817 USD during lunchtime deals, around 0.1% higher for the session. Alexander, what do you make of this agreement between the UK and Japan?
I think this is a landmark agreement, and one of the proofs of how important it is that the Remainer media here in Britain has practically ignored it. So let's just unpack this. First of all, Britain and Japan have very friendly relations with each other. Britain and Japan are two islands. They're two island countries, two island kingdoms, by the way. Japan has an emperor, Britain has a queen. They've always got on extremely well with each other. This is, obviously they had the war during the Second World War, and there was all the huge tensions. But since then, relations between Britain and Japan have been very good. The Japanese have lots of investments in Britain. The British have always had good relations with Japan. It does not surprise me that the British were able to negotiate this trade agreement with Japan so fast. Japan is a mighty economic power. It may be economically stagnating for some time, but it is stagnating from a very high level indeed. It is a major industrial power. It is one of the world's biggest exporters. I think that in terms of purchasing power parity, it is the world's third or fourth biggest economy. So this is a huge deal, actually, if you think about it in this way. It's also a sign, it's also proof that all of these stories we've been hearing from all sorts of people up and down Britain, that, if Britain pulls out of the EU, there's not going to be possible to negotiate trade deals with other countries, and Britain will become economically isolated, and it will become, a sort of hermit kingdom, a kind of North Korea in the Atlantic. All of that, as it's clearly shown, is now nonsense. So it's an important event economically. It is also an important event because Britain and Japan are coming closer. Remember, Japan is in the Asia, in the Asia Pacific region, which is the world's fastest growing economic region. It's where countries like Australia and New Zealand, with which Britain, of course, has exceptionally strong connections, are also based. I predict it will be the first deal of many with other countries in that region, Malaysia being one possibility, Singapore being another, Vietnam being another still. Then there's the big ones, the Philippines, Indonesia, all of those. So it proves that this story, that Britain's entire economic future rests with a close connection to the EU, is simply not true. And of course, it makes more likely the imminent big trade deal with the United States, which I am sure is coming. It may not come this year because trade deals with a country of the size of the United States is, going to be protracted affairs to negotiate, but I am sure it will come. And I think those people who argue that it won't come are being delusional again. So it shows that the British can negotiate trade deals, that they can negotiate them fast, that there are people in other countries that, like Japan, who are interested in negotiating trade deals with Britain, and it is definitely a precursor of things to come. I'm going to add one further point on this specific trade deal before we just move on quickly to one other topic, and that is this. When Brexit happened, or indeed during the Brexit referendum, there were all sorts of scare stories about how if Britain left the EU, Japanese factories in Britain were going to close, the Japanese were going to pull out all their investments, all of, because supposedly the only interest Japan had in Britain was as a gateway to Europe, and that they weren't interested in Britain in and of itself at all. Well, we now see that that is not true. I've not seen anybody, by the way, in the Remainer media concede that or admit it or point it out. But there we go.
All right. So I find this really interesting from a psychological standpoint, from a confidence standpoint, and I would like your opinion on this. How does this affect the psychology of the EU, the leaders of the EU, the guys and girls sitting in Brussels that are trying to negotiate Brexit with the Boris Johnson government? How does this affect their psychology? How does this affect the Boris Johnson psychology? How does this affect other countries in the European Union looking on and saying, huh, so it's not all doom and gloom and the sun will rise if I decide one day, you know, hint Italy, hint, you know, Greece, maybe. I don't know, if I decide one day to leave this roach motel called the European Union. And finally, Alexander, how does this affect the people of the UK, their psychology, as they say, you know what, as you just said right now, you know what, we can do this. We can do this.
Yes. Well, the short answer is that I think the people in the EU won't like this at all, precisely because it shows that there is a world outside the EU for former EU states like Britain. I mean, the whole argument has been that Britain can't function successfully economically outside the EU, and now it's just done a massive trade deal with a very important economy, which is Japan's. So, I mean, it's going to be something which, if the people in the EU really notice and take heed of, it ought to affect them. The only thing I will say is the EU has so many problems at the moment, and it's so divided on so many things. The pandemic is getting worse in Europe. There's talk of imposing more restrictions again. The yellow vests are back in the protesting in France. We've seen the tensions in the Eastern Mediterranean. The Belarus thing hasn't gone at all well, and it hasn't turned out the way they expected. And of course, we have a huge crisis now looming between Germany and Russia over the Navalny poisoning. So all kinds of things are going wrong. And of course, the economic figures in the EU are very bad indeed. So it may also be the case that obviously they won't be pleased about this and they won't like it. And they'll be a bit, I think, taken aback and stunned by it. But I wonder how much time really at the moment they have to ponder the implications. Let's go to Britain, because here I think it's different. I think within the Johnson government, this is going to give them enormous self-confidence, because it's the proof that actually deals can be made and that they can move forward. And the proof of that is that instead of this trade deal being the big news story, which it should be, we instead have in Britain this completely confected, artificial, bogus row about whether this law that Johnson is now passing, it breaks somehow international law because it changes some of the arrangements in Northern Ireland. As I've said before, Britain regularly, systematically breaks international law. Ask them in Iraq, ask them in Libya, ask the Chagos Islanders who were, you know, taken out of their island when it was given over to become an American base. I mean, it's it talking as if Britain never breaks international law is silly. And the treaty that's being talked about, this, which is just the withdrawal agreement that was agreed, you know, a few months ago, I mean, it's almost ripe for that kind of readjustment. So rather than talk about the trade deal, which is real news and a sign of things to come, all the media here, which is, remember, overwhelmingly Remain and overwhelmingly hostile to Boris Johnson, is taken up with this non-issue, which, frankly, is of no great interest, I think, to the British people whatsoever. I mean, you know, a few people may no doubt get worked up about it, but they're not going to vote for Johnson anyway. If you think that in the mining towns in the north where they voted for Leave and voted for Johnson in the election, they care about the fact that he's making certain adjustments to the withdrawal treaty, they're not interested there. They really don't care about this. Whereas potentially a trade agreement with Japan, which provides for British jobs and Britain an economic future, that potentially they care about a great deal. So we don't talk about it. We talk about this other thing. So that in a way tells you that it is important and that it does have an effect.
Does this give other EU countries confidence?
I think if we have a change of government in, say, Italy, you know, which is possible, very likely, I think, in not a very distant future, then they may do. At the moment, it has to be said, all EU governments have pro-EU integrationist leaders, except for some East European states like Poland and Hungary. So, and of course, Poland and Hungary, bear in mind, they've kept their own currencies. So they have far more room for economic maneuver than, say, Italy or Spain or those sort of countries do. But there are protests now in Spain. There are protests now in France. The situation in Italy is very bad and hangs by a thread. It could very easily change. And we've talked about this many times. If Britain leaves the EU and makes a success of it, then, of course, it's an example that other EU states might want to follow. There's a very famous speech, famous in British history, during the Napoleonic Wars. It's one sentence which was made by William Pitt, who was the Prime Minister who fought Napoleon, in which he said, Britain has saved itself by its efforts. It is saving the rest of Europe by its example.
History does repeat itself. It definitely rhymes, that's for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it is setting the example.
Exactly.
Very quickly, Alexander, Trump, there's no doubt Trump would be very favorable for a trade deal with Paris, correct?
Yeah, he would be. I mean, should he win? You know, he will push a hard bargain. Because that's what Trump does. And so he should. I mean, he's the president of the United States. People always forget this, but he's not there to hand out favors. But he will want a trade deal with Britain. Yeah. Why wouldn't he? Of course he will. Of course he will. The whole point about Donald Trump is that, I mean, first of all, Britain and the United States have so much in common. I mean, we have the same language. We have a common legal culture, at least a common commercial legal culture. And, you know, there's great synergies and compatibilities. So I would have thought that it's an obvious trade deal to come, and I expect it will happen under Trump. Biden, of course, is a different matter.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Definitely agree with you on that one. I think it's also a good way for Trump to stick it to Merkel a little bit as well.
Well, that's the other thing, because of course, one of the things to always understand about Britain and the EU is that earlier US administrations, partly because they were a bit, they wanted to sort of build up the EU. It wasn't the EU in those days, it was the European Economic Community and then the European Community. They wanted to build up the EU as a bulwark against the Soviet Union. They wanted Britain inside because they wanted this very close ally of the US inside the EU to make sure that it didn't, you know, start backsliding on relations with the Soviet Union. That calculus doesn't exist anymore. And Donald Trump thinks in a completely different way. He doesn't see the EU as a bulwark against the Soviet Union because the Soviet Union doesn't exist. He sees the EU as an economic competitor and as a setup, which frankly, he doesn't like at all. He doesn't like Merkel. He doesn't like most European leaders. So as far as he is concerned, the calculus of having Britain inside the EU as a pro-American voice within it doesn't exist anymore because he's not interested in the EU as other presidents used to be. For example, as Barack Obama once was.
Exactly. All right. Alexander Mercuris, editor-in-chief of the Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on that red subscribe button. Like and share and definitely comment. We love to read your comments. Also, please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really means a lot to us and it really helps this small channel. We are working very, very hard to put out as much content for you as possible. Check out our one new channel, Alex Christoforou. You will see it in the links underneath this video down below the description box. Please subscribe to that channel. Keep an eye out for another channel that's going to launch. It will have the name of Mr. Alexander Mercuris. We will announce that as well. And of course, go to the Durant shop, pick up some merchandise. I've got a UK Magic mug right here and a Canada shirt. Alexander, I'm sure you've got a lot of mugs. And I'm sure you're going to give...
I've got the UK also, if you can see.
All right, super. And I'm sure you're going to give a very, very good pitch for our friends at Patriotic Legacy.
Absolutely.
Who have a contest where... when you make a purchase on their site, Patriotic Legacy, a link is in the description box down below, and you use the code Durant20, which will get you a 20% discount on anything you purchase. They ship internationally as well. You will be entered into the contest to win a Patriot Beacon purple color, brand new purple color, and a Durant Magic mug like this one, but with the U.S. flag on it.
Indeed. And in fact, I have that one too. I have the US flag, the magic mug with the US flag, and you see it there with the Patriot Beacon 3, which is, can I just say, the best flashlight in the world. Alex also calls it the Swiss Army knife of flashlights. Can I explain why it is the best flashlight in the world? Firstly, it is a tremendously powerful flashlight. You can see it's got a tremendously strong beam there, which projects over huge distances, wonderful clear light. You can see the most extraordinary details. It's like daylight almost. It's amazing flashlight. And you can dim it. You can dim it if you're in an enclosed space. And if you're walking down, you know, a road and there's oncoming traffic or you've got some other reason to do it, you can have it flashing so that this alerts people very well to the fact that you're there. It's also got an alarm in the handle, which you can press. Very useful for me because I often walk with, always I walk now with my Patriot Beacon, but I often walk in the dark and it's a way of calling my dogs, but you can hear the sound. So it's got those qualities, but it's also got many other things too. Firstly, it's solar powered. So you don't need to worry about batteries. It's not going to sort of expire on you. You don't have to worry about putting more batteries in. It's solar powered. It's always there for you, provided you obviously keep it in the light, which, of course, one can easily do. It's also got a port so you can recharge your smartphone or your tablet or your laptop or whatever other appliance you need to recharge in case that dies on you. It's also, and this is incredibly useful for me because I love going out on long walks in the country. And sometimes, you know, you get out of internet contact or GPS. It's actually got a compass in the handle. So that's really useful. You can get your bearings very quickly with the compass in the handle that way. It's also got a magnet, which is great so that you can find somewhere and you can hang it up. And it's perfect for that too. And it also can be used as a tool. You can use it as a hammer like this, or perfectly, it's absolutely perfectly adapted. If you find someone who's been in an accident, a car accident, you can use it to break the windscreen. You should tap, by the way, the four corners of the windscreen. It will come down very quickly with this. And it's got a seatbelt cutter, so you can cut someone out of the seatbelt very fast. I always, by the way, when I drive now, I always have my Patriot Beacon 3 with me. It gives me that enormous confidence, and it gives you tremendous confidence just to hold it, because it is so well built. It is strong and rugged. It has that immense solidity you get from so many of the great products that the United States makes. And this is one of those great products. It just gives you immense feeling of confidence and security when you handle it. And it is made in the United States. As Alex says, it ships internationally. This one is black, but I gather the new one is purple. You must obviously have one. The best flashlight in the world, the Patriot Beacon 3, made by our friends at the Patriotic Legacy. At the end of this broadcast, Alex will remind you how to go get yourself one. And as Alex also rightly said, it comes with a magic mug with the flag of the United States, the great nation in which it is made. And of course, we have many other magic mugs in our shop. Alex talked about the British flag, which of course I have next to me. I've also got one with the Australian flag, and we have smaller ones. This comes with the Greek flag, and we also have enameled ones. This is an enameled one with the flag of England, so that, you know, when you go out walking in the woods, as I do, it's the perfect mug to have with you when you go out. And we've got other great things. We've got shirts. Alex has got a whole new range of shirts coming, also with country flags on. I think it's Canada that he's wearing at the moment, if I'm not mistaken. There you go, you can see. And by the way, if you don't find your own country's flag either on one of our mugs or one of our shirts, wait a little, it will come. And if it still hasn't come when you want it, well, drop us a line and we'll see what we can do. But we've got wonderful shirts. They're all 100% cotton, some of them embroidered, and they're going to be absolutely fantastic. And we've also got amazing hats. We've got baseball hats and truckers hats and embroidered hats and hats also with national flags. And we also have our extraordinary gallery of ebooks. So come to our shop, support the Duran, support this small struggling channel which aims to inform you and to explain things in the way that we do, and at the same time be the great owner of these wonderful things and get yourself a Patriot Beacon 3. And Alex will tell you how to do all these things.
You'll find a link to the Patriotic Legacy website in the description box underneath this video for the Patriot Beacon 3 contest, Duran 20, 20% off. And you'll find a link to the Duran shop, once again, underneath this video down below in the description box. There is literally, I think, thousands of new products that I have put up. Embroidered long sleeve shirts, men's and women's, embroidered hats, t-shirts, polos, you name it, it's all gone up. And all tons of new countries have gone up, literally tons of new countries, even U.S. states. Our first U.S. state, which is the great state of Texas as well, has gone up. So that is the Duran shop down below. Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.